Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we're dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Amen.
Amen.
And raised us up together, he says that. And made to sit us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. There you have it. Exceeding. Well, can you measure exceeding? I don't think so. The exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Kindness is linked with grace. Of course it is. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. No, it's all of grace, isn't it? No merit on our part. No deserving on our part. The Lord doesn't give us a pat on the back, not until after we're saved, to encourage us. That's all grace for salvation. Giving us grace, ending with glory. Yeah. Go to chapter 3 in verse 2. Chapter 3 in verse 2.
What book was that, Don?
Ephesians 2, chapter 3.
I'm interrupting you now because we were just knocked off.
Our
broadband failed and we just got back on. So thank you. Okay, carry on.
Well, we looked at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 9. Now we're looking at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 2. Chapter 3 and verse 2. And he speaks about, in verse 2, talking about himself being a prisoner of Jesus Christ. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of grace. Dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. The dispensation, we're living in the dispensation of grace right now, from the time that Jesus came right through. Certainly ending with the rapture, but God will be gracious to save many in the tribulation. We know that. The dispensation of grace, that's the church age. So we have been saved by the grace of God. Grace for salvation. Second Peter, at the end of the last chapter, speaks about growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Growing in grace, that's progress. That, if you like, is linked with sanctification. Grace for sanctification. Grace has delivered us from the bondage of sin and self, so that believers can enjoy the presence of the Lord and fellowship with him and with each other in Christ. And that's meant to be enriching the riches of his grace. That enriches our lives. It also satisfies the Lord and satisfies us too, very much so, of course. We know that. But it says, it's getting a real grasp on grace. Get hold of what it really means and all that I've been saying. Get a grasp on grace.
Mm-hmm.
And then we should become more like Christ. That's sanctification. Grace for sanctification. Very important. Would you go back to the Acts of the Apostles? One verse. Acts chapter 20, please. Acts chapter 20. One verse. This is where Paul is saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders and weeping with them because he spent some years with them, or quite a time anyway. Acts 20 and verse 32. Acts 20 and verse 32. He's with the elders, probably kneeling down together on the beach at Ephesus. You can imagine. Acts 20 verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, who is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Grace for sanctification, a very important word. It's linked with our growth, of course. Progress in grace. Grace delivers us. Grace assists us. Grace sanctifies and strengthens us. That's wonderful, isn't it? That's it, isn't it? That verse 32 is wonderful. The word of his grace will build you up. Grace builds us up. Promises, hope, strength from the Lord, grace. And we have a glorious inheritance to come. What a wonderful verse that verse 32 really is, isn't it? So the Lord has given us grace for salvation, grace for growth, grace for sanctification. Now, if you just go back to 1 Peter 5, would you go back where we started, please? 1 Peter chapter 5. And that verse 10 again. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, where we started. I'll read it again. 1 Peter 5:10. But may the God of all grace, total grace, covers everything, who called us, grace calls us, Joseph in Christ, to his eternal glory. That's grace, chosen for eternal glory. Ooh, by Christ Jesus, who else? After you have suffered a while. So there's grace for suffering. Think about that. Now think of the Apostle Paul, where he listed all the sufferings he went right through in his Christian missionary journeys. There's a whole long list of them in 2 Corinthians. And he gives grace, certainly, for suffering. And within that experience, well, Hebrews tells us the Lord doesn't enjoy the discipline of our lives only when necessary to conform us to the image of Christ. That's grace. Conforming to the image of Christ likeness. Oh, full of grace that is. And the Apostle Paul experienced grace as he went through all the things that he suffered. Think of him in prison with Silas in Philippi, praising the Lord at midnight. And result of that, grace to suffer? Whew, I say. But God's grace can transform suffering into service. Well, that's what Paul was doing. He was serving the Lord and he suffered in his ministry, but he knew Christ's power. He knew the power of the grace of God, keeping him, willing him on. He didn't give up because he suffered. Many Christians today are suffering. They don't appear to be giving up, praise the Lord. Now, if you go back a chapter while we're in 1 Peter, go back a chapter to chapter 4, would you? Chapter 4. And look at verse 10. Chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, each one has a gift. Having received the gift, as each one has received the gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Manifold means all covering. It covers every aspect, like a manifold cover on a car, its engine. It holds vital parts underneath the manifold cover. So the manifold covering of the grace of God, that's covenant covering. Manifold covering covers everything that we need. That's wonderful, isn't it? 1 Peter and chapter 4 and verse 10. Wonderful that. The Lord, of course, as you know, he suffered so much for us in order to redeem us. We know that. That's a wonderful truth. That manifold grace really means multicolored. It is every type of grace that comes to meet our need, whatever it is, forgiveness, help, strength, encouragement, lift up, power, you name it, it's because of the grace of God. A manifold covering. This covers every aspect of our human need, whatever it is, forgiveness from backsliding, whatever. Yes. It's all because of divine grace. And of course, God's grace is sufficient to sustain us. That's something important too, especially in suffering. Sustaining in suffering. We don't like to think of suffering. It's very unpleasant, of course. So even when temptations come, there's always the grace of God which enables us to stand. You know, James 4, verse 7, I use it regularly. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's a promise. I proved it. You probably have too. That's because of the grace of God. Submit yourself to the Lord, always willing for the manifold covering of grace for all our needs. Wonderful, that is. We think of the Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. You needn't turn to it, I'll read it. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Well, the times when we do have a hard time, it is true. But consider the Lord Jesus, full of grace and truth, suffering Savior, full of grace towards us, love, kindness, everything else, yes. You know, Christ was once offered, only once, once offered to bear the sin of many. How true that is, glorious. Hebrews 9:28. Now, just in towards coming towards an end here, would you go back to John's Gospel, please? Back to John's Gospel. It's dashing around, isn't it? John's Gospel, please. Chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. Now, I've quoted verse 14, but let's look at it again. And then verse 16. John 1:14, you know it well. Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, total grace, all grace and truth. Now verse 16. And of his fullness, that's fullness of grace, we have all received, and grace for grace, he pours it on. He pours on grace, grace upon grace, grace upon grace. Overflowing grace, overflowing love. Wonderful. That's how it is. He pours out his grace. He fills the believers' lives with grace, 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 transforming us. And we can have a new song. Grace puts a new song into our hearts, into our minds, into our lips, into our tongue. Because we have gladness and joy. The joy of God. Here, have the joy of God. God's own joy, he says, I give it to you by grace. Wonderful. Delight in knowing Christ. Delight yourself in the Lord, the psalmist says.
Amen.
And you'll meet all your needs. Wonderful. You and I have been raised up to a new life. We've got a glorious promise ahead of us, a glorious hope, being with the Lord forever. Wonderful. Into eternity. New heaven and new earth at the end. Yes, we know that. Wonderful. And grace therefore puts a new song into our hearts. I'd like, if you will, to go on to Colossians chapter 3. We move on towards the end. Colossians chapter 3, if you will, please. I'm just going to count as something on the screen. Colossians chapter 3, then I'm sure you know it well. The way to remember these letters of Paul at the beginning, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, like the five vowels, I mentioned this before, it's always a help. Galatians A, Ephesians E, Philippians I, Colossians O, and Thessalonians for you, if you like. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, can we? And we want verse 16, Colossians 3 and verse 16. Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, encouraging one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There it is. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Well, we have a good reason for that, haven't we? Think about that. So God's grace is given to us for salvation, growth, sanctification, suffering, service, and a new song in our hearts. We're in Colossians. Would you go to chapter 4, next chapter, and verse 6? Colossians 4 and verse 6. And the Lord gives grace to affect our speech. Grace for speaking. For speech, how we talk to one another. Colossians 4, verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, purifying, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Especially when somebody speaks hostile or criticizing or a little difficult or coming against you, even as Christians. Conversation, speaking with grace, seasoned with salt, keeping your speech pure. So the Lord wants our very words, our very speaking, to be saturated and with sanctifying grace. We're told to be kind, considerate, to benefit others with our speech and our actions, thankful for the fellowship of believers, having sincere speech, expecting perhaps others to speak the same to us. Yes. Especially those who might have offended us or wronged us in any way or us hard. But speaking with grace, attitude of grace. Oh, isn't grace a fantastic word? Yeah. We're coming towards an end now. There's a few scriptures I'd like to look at to summarize these up. Now, we were in Peter. But if you're in Colossians, let's go back to Ephesians nearby. Once again in Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 29. This is about right speaking, grace in our speech. Ephesians 4, and verse 29. What a practical letter this is. The first three chapters of Ephesians are doctrine. The last three chapters are about duty, how we live and speak. So chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification is going to benefit others, that it may impart grace to the hearer. There you are, speaking with grace to those who hear it, the ones you're speaking to. Remarkable, isn't it? So grace is working in our lives to produce control of our tongue. Grace produces control of our tongue. Ooh, yeah. And we know that the Lord gives grace to the humble. We know that's true. That's James 4 and verse 6. So while we're going to be near Peter, we look at James first, then we go to Peter. Look at James 3. Go on to James chapter 3. A few verses there from verse 8. Just approaching the end. Chapter 3 and verse 8. I'm going to read through to verse 13. Chapter 3 of James, verse 8. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, that's with the tongue. And with it we can curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Be careful how you speak to others. If they are your fellow Christians, the Lord is working in them and they belong to him. Be careful how you speak to Christians. They're in the image of God and the likeness of Christ, growing like you are, if they're believers. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, These things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring can yield both salt water and fresh water. Well, we know that. It can't bring out honey and vinegar, if you like to put it that way. Very practical. James 3, verses 8 to 13. Now, would you go on to 1 Peter 2, over the page. 1 Peter chapter 2. And look, please, just at one verse, 19 and, well, two verses, 19 and 20. 1 Peter 2, 19 and 20. 1 Peter 2, 19 and 20. For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, disciplined for your faults? You take it patiently. But when you do good and suffer for it, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. It pleases him. He recognizes it. If you're suffering in grace, you're suffering because of grace, you can act wisely. So in other words, grace comes to sinners, saves them. We know our shortcomings, we know our weaknesses, even the Christian life. So the way of faith is because of grace. We know that. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says this. You needn't turn to it. I'm reading Romans 5, 1 and 2. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, which means a right relationship, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access into this grace, through Christ Jesus, access into grace, in which we stand. Of course, we stand by grace. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I'm going to read that part again. We have access because of Christ into this grace in which we stand. Of course we do. And rejoice in hope, yes, of the glory of God. Wow. Think of Moses way back in Exodus. He couldn't see God face to face. He could see his back, some aspects of his glory perhaps. But tell you, we have a glorious future because of the grace of God. And as believers, we need to acknowledge that it's all by grace. And we need that flow of grace continuing in our Christian life, helping us in so manifold ways. In daily living, continuous flow, like the spring we thought of in James, a spring flowing with good, clear, clean, refreshing water to water others too. Yeah. And John 7:38 says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water, our life, our actions, and our speaking, all by grace. You know that wonderful little chorus, don't you? It's some years old now. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. In the light of his glory and grace. Now, finally, and I mean finally now, go to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, and there we close. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Wonderful summary, this, I think, for us. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, and I'll read it. It really sums it all up. Grace, total grace. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's the loving kindness of our God who appeared in the form of a man, full of grace and truth, grace and glory. Find grace whenever we need it. It's always available, flowing out to us. We can obtain mercy if we need mercy. So there is the thought there. Salvation by grace, growth and sanctification by grace, serving by grace, suffering by grace, new song in the hearts by grace, and our new speech by grace. So let that flow into our lives, full of grace and truth ourselves, living witnesses for Christ in the way we live, what we believe, and the way we speak and act, available to Christ because of grace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Don. That's very interesting. That word grace obviously encompasses quite a few words, I'm sure, other words in the English language. Many translations here, I've noticed, because I have a lot on the phone and what have you, put favor instead of grace. Now, personally, I do like the word grace. I think it has a higher...
Yeah.
You know, it really does. It's interesting because the Greek word for grace, of course, is charis. But could I just say here that and of course, you've been talking about the grace of God. Of course, you know, we actually sometimes when we leave one another, we refer to the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus. Just one thing I've picked up, and that is on Ephesians 4, verse 29, you mentioned the word grace. The Greek actually doesn't say that word, charis. It doesn't actually say that word, Greek, charis, in the Greek. The Greek word is didomi, which, and the translation we have of that, the nearest, is benefit.
Yes.
So therefore, grace... if we have grace towards one another, we want to benefit one another, don't we?
Yes, that's right. And what benefits we get from the Lord too.
Well, how much time have you got?
Very good. Thank you, Robert. That's very good. Yes. Excellent.
And right, it's so good, isn't it, to be able to come to the throne of grace because of Jesus Christ, just to be able to come there. Especially when there's difficult times, and in the world today when it's so horrible, this world at the moment, isn't it? Yeah. And yet you can get your happy place tonight in your peace at the throne of grace.
Oh, that throne of grace, that says everything, doesn't it?
Yes. And we can come boldly too, without any fear.
Yeah.
Boldly, always accepted in the beloved.
Yes.
Lovely, isn't it?
Thank you for pulling all these scriptures together, because they're all commonly known, but when you pull them all together, they're powerful.
Yes, aren't they just?
Look at them together. Yes.
That's right, Ella. Yes.
Tom, I have one question. It's outside of the context of grace, actually, but it is in Exodus when the Lord was speaking to Moses, and in Exodus 33, and it says, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. Is that Jesus Christ then? Because if he's speaking to him face to face, because no man can see God and live.
Yes. It could well have been. The Hebrew is panim el panim, face to face. One to another. Yeah. Very close.
It would have to be the Son, wouldn't it? Because the Father, you can't see the Father.
Yeah. I would say so, yes.
Just to mention that, just to expand on that, as I've said, the Hebrew language is very much a physical language. And in fact, when it refers to face, it means going before you.
Oh okay.
Yeah, going before you. My face will go with you. It sort of implies go before you. As I said, you know, the word, you know, slow to anger means, you know, the Greek for slow to anger is having a long nose.
long suffering,
anyway, it's just a thought.
Very patient. You see, grace is one of God's attributes, isn't it? One part of his character.
Mm.
Long suffering is part of his character.
Mm. I've actually got the being long of nose in my notes in my David Jeremiah study Bible, Robert.
Really? Oh, good. Yeah.
Say that again, Eamon. Sorry, I missed that.
The long suffering and the meaning of it, because it's meant as a sort of a comical type of gesture in Greek. And it's, as Robert keeps telling us, he's told us several times now, it's being long of the nose is what it actually means. And Robert's always used that phrase. So long suffering means being long of the nose.
I'm long suffering then.
bit of a Hebrewism there somewhere. Yeah. I don't know where.
Brenda knows I'm long suffering. It's all right.
What a strange phrase. Thank you.
Dave Jeremiah actually puts it in his notes in my study Bible. David Jeremiah.
Oh yes.
When is your study Bible coming out?
No way.
No. We'll order it now.
Yes.
We're privileged, guys, because we have a face-to-face talk,
don't we? Yeah, no, that's good. Very good. Oh, Robert, just you know when you disappeared?
Yeah.
It handed over the host to us.
Oh, okay.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
I'm just so glad you came back, Robert.
You must be panicking.
No, it's a talk thing.
It's our internet provider. Good.
We know we got to phone them up, but we just haven't got around to it. But thanks for that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I think the recording stopped, but you carried on seeing each other. That was good.
Everything stopped. Mary, round table, Mary.
Oh yes, I was just thinking, Don, where it says in John 7:38, I was thinking when it says out of him flows the rivers of living water, I thought that was talking about God, but I've seen here that it talks about believers, really.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, out of his heart,
out of the Christian, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Interesting. Yes, that's very true. Thank you, Mary. You've underlined that.
Yeah, yes. I put a capital H, you see, for him. Right. But now I've just rubbed it out and put a small H.
That's right. Yes, for the Christian, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Robert, were you going to ask me something else?
No. I just passing the, going around the table, you know. Now, over, I think Ella's next on my screen. Anything, Ella?
Oh, I just... I've really enjoyed this morning. I've made all sorts of notes.
Me too.
First Peter 4:10. Just such a powerful word there.
Full of notes.
Yeah, I love my notes.
Very good scribe, Mary.
Oh, I know. I'm always writing.
Yeah. And my translation is puts a little different spin on some of them. But it's very good to hear the different ones.
Yeah. I think that what Sharon said, you know, the throne of grace just about wraps it all up, doesn't it?
It
does. It says it all.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well,
you know, that's I wonder if that's
thank you, Eamon.
You know, the it reminds me a little bit like I mean, God really is, he's got his arms wide open at the moment and saying to people, come on, I'm here for you. And that reminds me a bit about the prodigal son, where the father welcomed and kissed and, you know, what he did. I mean, that's what it is, isn't it?
That's grace, full of grace. Mm. Yeah, that's right.
We are so fortunate in this dispensation. Oh,
that's it. And God can fill us with grace even when we don't ask for it or even realize it.
Yes, you see, he pours it out. He pours it out.
I've got a very close relative person in our family who's been, we just kind of found out, has had some addiction issues and depression and all rolled into one. And we didn't know any of this, though, and she's been very, very unkind to me the last 10, 12 years. And the things that were said to me at family gatherings, and honestly, I didn't hear them. They went, and other people would say to me, how can you do that? How can you just ignore what she just said to you? It was so mean. You did nothing. And the rest of the table are sitting there going, she says that to Ella Marie? Who could do that? And it really was, I mean, I am not perfect, but this was not deserved of by me. But it was all God. And God just gave me those words to love on her. And then sometimes I did get kind of fed up and I just pray about it. And the Lord would say, we put her in your family for a reason.
Yes.
And we just, and Gary and I just kept loving on her and loving on her and praying for her and praying and praying. And now we find out this is what it all was. It was a chemical thing. And she's been under doctor's care, and all of a sudden she's a different person.
Good.
She gave me a hug for the I guess New Year's for the first time in 12 years.
Wow.
And I went, I just about fainted. I didn't know what to think. I'm thinking, wow, this is weird. Because we've kind of joked about her sometimes being, you know, every family has one and then she's our one. But, you know, but there was the Lord's grace just pouring out in heaps.
Right. That's a good example.
It was just to see it in action was very, very cool.
Yeah.
Speaking with grace.
Yeah. Well, I'm reading that we can't speak two things, you know, we can't speak salt and poison out of one mouth. No. We must mind our tongues.
I've got been listening to Dr. Ellie, a Jew teacher of the Bible, and I was listening to him, and we've read Exodus 34:6, and the way he approached that's where I got the long notes from, but the way he approached that, he was saying where it says, my version, New Revised Standard Version, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. He said, God isn't abounding in steadfast love. He's not abounding in it. He's overflowing with it. He's got too much.
Yes,
he said. Right. And then he referred to somebody, either a quote, right? And he said, the bottom line of that quote was, Lord, I've got so much sin. I sin so often. I do so much wrong. But you've got too much forgiveness. Let me exchange my sin for your forgiveness, because that's what he wants.
Yes.
It's you know, we got to push him, you know, not touch God on the surface, but really, you know, like Moses had a word with him, didn't he? He had a right moan at times. You know, and that's what God likes. He doesn't want us to clam up, you know, and not speak to him. As I said before, he's a big boy. He can take it.
Thank you, Robert. Yes.
Well, that's what I say.
Thank you. Wow. He's amazing, though, isn't he? Just can't fathom it, can we?
No. And he's our Father.
Yeah. And one day, everyone's going to realise who he is. So every knee shall bow.
Yeah.
Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeah. That's going to be an amazing day, isn't it?
Wow. Yes.
Everyone. Wow.
Wow. Okay. So that was fine. Lovely. That really, you know, I think a lot of these talks, Don, and where we read things and what people bring to the table, they remind us. I mean, it's not as if we don't know necessarily about, you know, grace, but we're reminded, and you go deeper in this case all the time, you know, and that's because there's so much to think about.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
You know, but it's just good, isn't it? I mean, we could talk about, you know, the forgiveness of God, his glory. It's like talking about the Hebrew language being very physical. The word to describe someone who is glory like in Greek it's doxa, but in Hebrew it's the word is heavy. So if somebody is heavy, as it were, they're full of glory. I'm trying to get my head around it, and I come to the conclusion, well, if you imagine heavyweight boxers, I mean, you know, they're really, really like it compared to a flyweight or lightweight, you know. But that's the word that the Hebrew language uses, the word heavy, to describe something that's full of glory.
Yeah. Well, is it the Apostle Paul spoke about a weight of glory?
Yes.
Mm. You really? Why?
Yeah. Well, there you go. It's glory.
Well, he certainly knew his bits, didn't he, old Paul?
Yes. Well, Paul wrote a lot of his letters with grace and peace to you. Grace and peace to you.
Oh, yeah.
You check out the first verse, first chapter, grace and peace, always.
Mm.
And when he wrote to Timothy and Titus, he said, grace, mercy and peace. You've got it all. Good way to introduce truth. Grace, mercy and peace.
Isn't it lovely when we hear these words? We just out of this world. Yeah. Yeah.
Grace produces mercy. Mercy produces peace. All in order.
Yeah.
Mm. Amen.
That's our experience.
Gosh.
So I'm
with God. Yes.
I'm assuming we get the English word charity from the Greek word charis.
Yes.
And of course, what does charity? Charity you bestow on people, don't you? Really?
Yes. Right, yes.
Bestowing.
Give them all benefits, yes.
Any further round table interjections, or that's a big word, isn't it?
Look it up first. So when you mentioned about the tongue. And what we say and things, the tongue is so powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that if you use your tongue and you say things that are wrong, you can actually destroy somebody's life just by your words, can't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Totally. And that's why, isn't that why when God puts a list of the things that he really detests, if you like, he puts lying along with murder.
Yeah.
That powerful, isn't it? You can say...
You can murder somebody's character by your words.
I think, got to be.
I heard there's more scriptures. God has more to say in the Bible about the tongue than about love or anything else.
Yeah, I can believe it.
Yeah. Huh.
The tongue.
Yeah, I thought that was really meaningful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you want to close with singing that hymn, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus?
Yeah, what a good idea.
Want me to play it?
Ooh. Yes, please.
So, Don, grace always has to come first, doesn't it? Before the mercy.
Yes.
Because it's through grace that he has his
mercy. Yeah. Yeah. Grace produces all the others.
Yeah.
We'll put some light on here.
Amazing. Grace also comes before judgment all the time as well, doesn't it?
Yes, that's true. Yes.
Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Grace will end, judgment comes. Yeah. When grace ends, judgment comes. Must do.
Paul said, to set aside the grace of God, there would be no need for grace if our good deeds could be sufficient for righteousness. So it's all about grace. Without grace, we have nothing.
Absolutely right, yes.
Yeah.
Ella, can I...